Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
I am going to war with wildlife at my house.
Oh.
Now, that may seem harsh, but if you remember, a few years ago, I saw a little rodent of some sort swimming in my pool, panicking, trying to get out. And I raced out there and grabbed my skimmer, took him out gently, got underneath him, brought him out gently, put him in the garden.
Yes.
He probably thought the hands of gerbil god
right. came
down and took him and lifted him. As I said at the time, it'd be like you drowning in the ocean and all of a sudden something just picks you up and puts you gently on the sand.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, so I have been kind to the wildlife. But right now the wildlife is not being kind to me.
Okay.
There
you
is,
got squirrels, you got...
No, a nasty bird.
Birds?
A horrible, horrible bird. I have a whole hedge down the side of my driveway. He or she... could turn it into one complete nest for themselves.
Gotcha.
But for some reason, they've decided they need to plant their arse and bird nest up on top of my light right beside my front door.
Oh, the morning doves or the robins? Probably the doves.
I never really see it. As soon as I come out the door, it takes off very fast.
It's like a pigeon.
It's something. And then, of course, my mailbox is right below this light. And he has no respect. He's pooping all over it, and you know his bits from his nest are everywhere.
Right, yeah.
So I went out yesterday, and I took the broom to it, swept it all down, cleaned it all up, had the blower on it, cleaned up the top of the mailbox. I was there about 2:30 in the afternoon. 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, I go back out, and isn't that little bugger back at it again?
Oh, yeah. We get the same. Our porch, I guess because of the overhang, it's sheltered. Yeah. They like that.
Yeah.
Coop does a pretty good job of scaring them away, though, because as soon as they fly anywhere near it,
right.
he starts barking and howling and hitting the window, and they'll take off, which is good. But the back deck, like underneath that, we've had the robins. Like every year, they come back. And even when they start the nest, you'll go, and if you knock it down, they'll come right back to that same spot and build it up. Like the Ford government could learn about some housing building. From these things, because they're up in seconds and sturdy.
Yeah. Now, we had one a few years ago, and I guess we just liked the novelty of it, and we wanted to watch the progress, and so we let it be. And then birds were born in it, and it was just a disaster of a mess. But once the babies are in there, I'm not touching it.
No, you can't.
So you let that play itself out. Because, you know, birds kick the babies out of the nest after, like, however many weeks or months.
Right.
It's not like they're raising them until they're 28, like we humans do. You hear the birds in the nest complaining, Ma! What's for dinner, Ma?
And they don't leave the nest and come back.
No, they don't.
Right.
So we let it alone. But this time I had to get on it fast. But, he came back a few times, so... if I get a hold of him, he won't be building his nest anymore. He'll be digging his own grave. AshleyMadison.com, still around.
Is it really?
I guess so. Well, cheating never really goes out of style.
I just thought they'd be moving on from other websites to apps or something like that.
Yeah, no. I don't know. It's still there. They probably have an app as well, I'm sure. Because, you know, when you want to get your cheating on, you got to have it right in your hand.
Real direct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they asked a bunch of people on their site, they asked users, and it's funny that people on this site would even respond or get involved in just some sort of fear of your name popping up somewhere. But
I guess if you're on it, you've gotten over that fear.
I guess so. Or, you know, I don't know the stats about AshleyMadison.com, and I'm sure there are just a lot of hounds out there who are cheating on their spouses. But I'll bet you there's also a lot of their clientele who are either in loveless marriages and, you know, don't want a divorce because of children or financial reasons.
Like, do people use their real name on that site?
I don't know.
Like, or like a tag, you know what I mean? Like,
I used to go with Stud Bannon. When I was on.
Zero profile views.
Yeah, they kicked me off. So things that cheaters would never cheat on. And the top answer is they would never cheat on their taxes.
Wow.
So let me get this right. You'd rather not screw over the government than screw over your own husband or wife.
Right. Both are expensive.
Yes, very true.
Hmm.
They wouldn't cheat on their favorite sports team.
Gambling, pulling a Jonte Porter and betting against your own team.
Maybe going into this weekend if you're a Leafs fan, but betting on Boston.
Right, gotcha.
Would feel worse about cheating on a test than cheating on their wife.
My goodness.
They said the same about their therapist.
What?
These people are in therapy? Have they ever brought up the cheating aspect of their life?
Are you sure you're not lying to your therapist?
This is so 2024. Their chosen political party.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Their regular coffee order, their preferred fitness club, their favorite shoe brand, their phone carrier. I'm with you forever. Kudos. I'll always be by your side.
People drop phone carriers like luggage now. There's no rhyme or reason why that would be something you don't cheat on.
Cheaters who cheat on their spouse say they would never, ever cheat on their favorite takeout place. Is that even cheating?
I guess if you're going for the same type of food.
Yeah.
Like if you got a fish and chip shop and you try a different one.
This was something I remember you sharing that you had complete guilt about at one point, going to a new barber or hairstylist.
Yeah, oh yeah, switch it up. It's just like the Seinfeld episode. Like you're continually worried.
Did you ever go back to the original?
The original, no.
They're out of business now. Moved on. You went in.
He retired. In all fairness,
you went in. You broke his chair and left, and never paid for it.
I just stopped going there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they would feel worse about cheating on their diet than they would on their spouse.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you got to listen. When you're cheating, you got to look good.
Cheating's a whole lot of effort.
Cheating's a young man's game. Ever wonder where the high five came from? Supposedly it's National High Five Day.
Okay.
And it's always celebrated the third Thursday in April. Although it should probably be celebrated in October because it is believed that two players on the Dodgers 47 years ago, 1977, they smacked hands during their last game of the season on October 2nd. And that is believed to have been the first publicly seen high five.
Really?
Yeah. Fans immediately thought it was cool and the Dodgers embraced it as their official way to celebrate.
Never before 1977 people decided.
Yeah. It was the first time.
To clap hands with each other.
And then it's gone on to whole new levels of things, right?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Kids coming up with, all sorts of crazy hand slaps.
Right.
And although it's considered the coolest ever, there have been plenty of bad ones since then. You've probably screwed one up yourself. I know I have.
Definitely so. Or left someone hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you get your signals confused.
Right.
Are we shaking hands? Are we chest bumping? Are we?
Yeah, we're kind of back to that now because most people, I think, have gone back to the handshake.
Mm.
But every now and then you'll be, in a handshake situation and someone comes at you with a fist bump.
I'm right back to a long, uncomfortable, clingy hugs with a slight dry hump. Just a hint.
Even you describing that is uncomfortable.
A hint of dry hump. So the other person thinks, did he
just dry hump my leg?
And I walk away back to my golf cart.
Right.
So there is a site called howtobeadad.com, and it has a thorough explanation on how to high five properly. There's some steps to make sure you never screw it up again. First and foremost, form your hand into a flat surface with your fingers together. Spreading them out too much can minimize that satisfying smacking sound.
All right.
Yeah, you can also try cupping your hand a little bit for a chance of an even louder clap.
Yeah, so if someone's coming at you cupped hand,
it's
a little awkward.
A little cupped. Well, maybe if you come in together like that.
Yeah.
Recognize or declare a high five is about to happen. This is about to happen, you say.
High five. Up high.
Up high. That's right. Oh, they say you don't have to yell high five. Just make sure there's no confusion. Make eye contact.
So right.
You go in for the high five. Don't go in for the dry hump. I just learned a high five, guy.
Is it a high five or a slap in the face? What are they coming at me with?
Don't change your mind and go for a fist bump instead. Don't shift into an awkward hug.
Right.
Both people must commit to the high five.
Yes, or else you've left someone hanging.
Yeah, and that's
there's a lot to think about in what is usually a very, spur of the moment type move. You know, outside of the moments after the original Top Gun with the high five that continued to a down low back.
Right.
That was a, if you're going for one of those, that's a commitment. You have to have a discussion with the person you're doing that with, that you're going up high and low.
Yeah.
And then, there's the, high five up high, down low too slow.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that, you're thinking about your high five options. Otherwise, I think it's supposed to be spur of the moment.
I think the one time I really thought the high five was cool, it wasn't really a high five, it was more of a down low than a high, but was in the opening scenes, the sequence, the theme music playing to Chips, when John and Ponch were on their LAPD motorcycles,
right,
and they high-fived each other or hand-slapped going up the highway.
Right.
So me and my friends used to always do that on our bikes,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have no coordination, we'd bang into each other to fall down.
So what did they, like, what were teams doing before that in baseball? Anything?
I don't know.
Were they shaking hands? And when did the high five become the ass slap in baseball, too? Because that took on a moment.
I think that there was more decorum, probably, in sports at one point.
Right.
You got a great home run.
Yeah, let me shake your hand.
Yeah, it was the hat off to the crowd. Maybe there was more acknowledgement to the crowd than to your teammates.
Okay.
Perhaps.
See that?
A lot of times, too, you'll see if you're out golfing with buddies and somebody has a great putt, you might see them all. You'll hear them yelling and you might see a high five. I always just walk away to the cart pissed that you had such a great putt. Screw you and your putts.
But there is a technique to it. They're right. Because, you can go in. It's usually an arc.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're throwing something. You're throwing a high five at someone. Every now and then someone will come at you with like an upward motion high five. It seems very jazz hands. In the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's a very dainty high five. It's like they don't really mean it.
Stay calm and ready to move in unison, much like lovemaking. Don't panic. Don't try to rush it.
too early in the high five again.
That's right.
You're stuck with my own hand again.
You're not swatting at bees. I seem like that in bed.
That's right.
It's not a competition. Just be smooth. And supposedly, this is the most important. Look at their elbow, not their hand.
At their elbow.
Your brain will automatically know where your hand needs to be, and you'll make perfect contact.
If I'm looking at, so I got to stare at your, I've never thought of that.
No, try it.
So you got to be looking at the hand.
We can try it. You'll make better contact. It's especially helpful with running high fives, where you've got more moving parts.
Right.
So there you go.
Okay.
This summer, when you're out and about enjoying, and you do a high five.
Let's bring back the high five. Let's that should be a regular greeting.
I like the curtsy.
Craigie and Lucky.
All right, classic. High five.
He keeps asking me to give him a high five.
You're a salesman now. The high five is just so stupid.
94.9 The Rock.
If you drive an Uber, you've probably found people leaving stuff behind, like vomit. Seems to happen, and I used to think, I was talking to an Uber driver once. I said, you ever have anybody you got to boot out, or did you give everybody, get in drunk and throw up? And he said, I've had it happen a couple of times. We just send the cleaning bill to the person who did it,
their
credit card. But I said, I guess it just happens like on the weekends mostly, right? He goes, no, I've had drunk people in my car at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it, yeah.
Especially on things like St. Paddy's Day, right?
Right.
Anyhow. Outside of vomit left in Uber cars, some of the things that have been left behind include clothing. Now, clothing is the top of the list. And then luggage, headphones, wallets, jewelry, phones, cameras, books, laptops, and vapes. Keys didn't show up in the top 10. You'd think a lot of people would drop their keys out of their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the strange and odd things. Somebody decided to leave their frontal hair toupee. Two containers with spiders in them.
Oh, that's not cool.
A tray of meat pie. Well, at least he had something to eat.
Right. Who forgets that, though?
I know. Love a meat pie. A ceramic cat. A jar of oysters. Have that with the meat pie. A candle that says, see you in court.
That's a breakup gift.
Yeah. A live pet turtle.
Okay.
A fart sensor.
The hell's a fart sensor?
Can't we all sense farts?
Is it the sense that one's coming or a sense that one's happened?
Well, I think just from my physical way, I can tell when one's on the way.
Right, yeah.
And I can certainly tell when someone around me has let one off.
Mm-hmm, usually.
Yeah, but my sense of smell isn't great. So that's probably saved our relationship.
Definitely so.
If I had a really good sense of smell.
But this would have been over in year one.
Yeah. Week one. We would have had to find a way to put
no,
you in
I
that.
I would have held it for week
oh,
one.
Oh, did you? Were you
yeah, I'm not an animal. Try and make an impression.
A framed Taylor Swift autograph. So I guess not a picture autograph, but just an autograph.
Oh, well, you don't want to lose that, though.
No, that'd be worth something. A hashtag best day ever foam sign. A fake butt.
A fake butt?
A fake butt. You need that for your Saturday nights. A thong, undergarments, a paternity test.
Was it headed to the Maury show?
Yeah, maybe. A WWE championship belt. And some hot sauce and a breathalyzer. That was mine. I left the hot sauce for the driver because I don't eat it anymore.
That after you were leaving Dr. Downers?
Yeah.
You're so upset by it all.
And I always have to, by law, have a breathalyzer on me at all times. Did you know that 2/3 of the world's polar bears live right here in Canada?
Right. Well, you know, they're not on Toronto Island. But
soon they will be. Them ice caps are melting. The other third live down in Mexico, but just for the winters. Even though the Soviet Union hasn't competed in the Summer Olympics since 1988, it's still second in the all-time medal count. America has 2,629 medals. The Soviet Union has 1,010. And this is odd because I don't remember ever hearing this country win much. Great Britain is third with 916.
Right.
I don't remember Great Britain being up on the podium all that often. Not that I watch much Summer Olympics, but.
Yeah. Hmm. They had a good sprinter at one point. I'm trying to think of what other sports they kind of dominated in.
Tea and crumpets.
Swimming? Yeah. Diving? Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's always too cold there to swim.
Right.
Nobody goes in the ocean. They wear their suit to the ocean.
Well, not a lot of Olympic ocean swimming events either.
High tea. They're great at high tea. And Yorkshire pudding. They win all their medals in Yorkshire pudding.
The gossip medal. They've got that one locked up.
Yeah. Long johns. Remember when you were a kid and your mother would say, it's really cold today for your walk to school. You should wear your long johns.
They've made great innovations in long johns,
by the
way.
Got a lot better than those white.
Not the scratchy.
Yeah.
Like, here, put some. It's like putting on actual fiberglass insulation.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were terrible. Anyhow, the long johns were named after a boxer in Boston in the 1870s named John Sullivan. He would wear them into the ring.
Oh.
So long johns. Sullivan, I guess. Yeah. So they say. Every baseball that's used in major and minor leagues is rubbed with special mud from New Jersey before it's shipped or used in a game.
Really? Like one special spot?
I guess so. Sour Patch Kids were originally called Mars Men. They changed the name in the early 80s to capitalize on the popularity of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The kid who played Charlie in the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was never in a movie before and never in a movie again. His name is Peter Ostrom, and he went on to become a veterinarian in New York. He's 66 now and retired. And he says he still gets a royalty check every 3 months for about $10.
Oh,
that's something.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. The screenwriter who wrote Castaway spent a week alone on a deserted island for research. A volleyball washed up on the shore, which is where he got the idea for Wilson.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. Italy, Germany, and England call syphilis French disease. That's terrible. Russia calls it Polish disease.
Right.
Poland calls it German disease. Denmark and Portugal call it Spanish disease. And Turkey calls it Christian disease.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of sleeping around in that EU.
Oh, yeah. How it all hasn't just imploded. Well, it's coming pretty close to all imploding at this point. But when you're just saying terrible things, when calling syphilis,
that's right,
the French or German, or that's is fighting words.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.